Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I am so excited for today's episode because I am trying something new. So, as you know, we normally talk about the Bible texts that are assigned for each week, and we're going to continue doing that. But I wanted to add a new segment in, and it won't be every week, but it will be as I can get them scheduled. And I'm calling it Friends on Faith on Friday. So that pretty much tells you it's going to be about friends. It's going to be about faith. And when I get them, I will publish them on Fridays. It turns out that when you go to seminary, you know a lot of people who then become pastors. I know, shocking, right? So I have all these amazing friends who are pastors, and I would love to have you get to know them as well. And I would love for you to have a different voice on this podcast other than just my own, because they all have their own experiences. They all have their own understanding of faith, their own experience of faith, and they are all over the country. So we get perspectives from people who live in other parts of the country. So I started talking to a friend of mine, Katie. I mentioned her a couple weeks ago. She was here visiting from Washington, D.C., and we had dinner with our other friend, Katie. And we were talking about this, and she said, "That's a great idea. I'd love to do that." And so I said, "Perfect. Do you want to be my first guest?" And so this week, we found time for her to call in. We unfortunately couldn't do it while she was here. We didn't have the time. But she called in this week, and we had a lovely chat about faith and her life and her experiences in faith. So the interview is with my friend, Vicar Katie Osweiler, and she is currently serving an internship in the Washington, D.C. area. I met Katie when we were both in seminary together at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, and she is the most adventurous person I think that I know. She is one of those people that embodies that idea. In improv comedy, you always say, whatever your partner gives you, you always say yes and. You always take what they give you and you run with it. And Katie really embodies that. She just looks at life and says, yes and. What happens next? Her husband is in the military, so since I have known her, she has lived in Berkeley, she has lived in New Mexico, Boston, England, Niger, and Washington, D.C. I think that's it. I'm probably missing a few. And their next assignment is in Belgium. So she's lived a very interesting life. She has really great perspectives on faith. She is one of the most giving people I know. She's always willing to jump in and help out where it's needed. She's always willing to try new experiences. She's funny. She's awesome. I can't say enough good things about her. She asks questions, which we talk about a little bit in the interview, you'll hear. But it reminded me of a story in seminary. And I don't remember how far into seminary we were, where this was. But I just remember we had a guest speaker that day. And he was really quite arrogant in the way that he presented his topic. And we were all getting a little bit frustrated with him. So he asked a question that he was obviously expecting a very specific answer to. And people around the room kept giving their answers, and he kept saying, no, 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 just really short and very, very sort of condescending about the way he was doing this. And finally, Katie said, "You clearly have a specific answer in mind, and none of us are giving it, so why don't you just tell us?" And he got really angry with her. But I was sitting there thinking, I love this woman. She just said exactly what I was thinking, but was a little bit too afraid to. And she actually wasn't rude about it. She wasn't snarky about it. She just said what a lot of us were probably thinking, because we were, at this point, extremely frustrated with the way the conversation was going. And so if I didn't love her before that point, and I don't know how I couldn't have, I definitely loved her after that. She was one of my great friends in seminary, and our last semester we actually lived underneath each other in the dorm. She was on the second floor and I was on the first floor, and we got to spend time together, and just, she is a wonderful human being, and I'm so glad she's the first guest for this new segment, Friends on Faith on Friday. So without further ado, I am going to turn it over to our interview. This is my interview with Vicar Katie Osweiler.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Great. So this is a new segment, as I mentioned in the part before your interview, that it's a new segment that we're trying on the podcast. Just talking to, it turns out that I know a million people who are pastors, and so talking to my friends who are pastors about their life of faith and just getting to hear another voice that's not mine on the podcast. So you and I know each other from seminary. We went to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary together. But tell us a little bit more about you. What would you like people to know about you as a person?
Oh, wow, me as a person. It's so deep. It's so deep. well, I kind of feel like I am, I don't like to use the word normal. I have a friend who says normal is just a setting on your dryer. So, but, you know, I kind of feel like I had a an upbringing that, you know, I went to church when I was a kid. Didn't really start going until I was later, so actually was baptized when I was 11. That isn't really normal, so but for a Lutheran, I guess. And then,
right.
You know, but when I was a kid, I went to church camp a lot, and that's when I really just loved God and felt that love, and not necessarily in a church setting, but in this, like, outdoors, and I met all these pastors and these camp counselors, and they just, it was such a great experience that I think I really felt God kind of moving it throughout that ministry. So camp ministry was a really big part of my growing up. And just that idea that you take that call of God in our lives and bring it back to the real world, bring it back to school and your family and everyday life. And I really felt connected to God in that, the spiritualness of the outdoors. So I guess that was a big part of me as a person. And kind of growing up, I wanted to be a pastor when I grew up, but, you know, all the women pastors I knew were old ladies who had gone to seminary after their kids grew up. So I thought, oh, well, that's what I'm going to do. And then, but I had a friend that encouraged me to go to a seminary day with her at a local university after I graduated from my own university. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to go because all the women that go to a seminary, they're all old, and I'm not old yet. Yeah. So I went, and I met all these young women, and I was like, who are you? Where did you come from? And I was just so inspired. I thought, well, good. I think I could go to seminary. And that was amazing. One of the people that I met really said, you know, you go to seminary with questions, but you exit with more questions than you went in with. And I really think that's true because – you know, it's not about getting all the answers. You know, pastors don't have all the answers, and we're constantly working on our faith as well. It's not an end all be all, you know, when you go to seminary or anything like that. So I felt really great about that going into it, and I kept that in the back of my mind and just always ask questions, which I think is a very Lutheran thing to do. You know, Martin Luther himself was a guy of questions, you know.
Yeah.
How do we keep forming this faith, and how do we keep forming our church and all those kind of things? So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Nice. Thank you. I always say I could have gone to seminary for 10 years and still not have learned everything that I thought I could know. You know, there's so many questions you can ask. There's so many things you can learn.
Yeah.
And I don't think no matter how much training you do, you are ever fully prepared for. Or, you know, you never get all of your questions answered, but it's, like you said, it's a journey, and it continues even after seminary.
I feel like a lot of the biggest lessons I learn are practical. You know, they're every day, you know, in the parish, and I learned so much from people in my congregations rather than, you know, the books that I had to read in seminary. I mean, those are all great things, but, you know, learning these practical things, and then also learning from each other, like, calling other pastors or talking to other, you know, other associates and just saying, hey, you know, I've got this thing. How do I do this? And that's, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's all part of learning too.
Yeah, I agree. Can you think of anything specific that you've learned recently that comes to mind?
Oh, staffing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they don't teach you about staffing in seminary, you know? I mean,
no.
That's something that you learn kind of in the parish. And that's also part of, I think, God's mission as well. You know, the mission in the world of the church is, you know, getting a staff together that works well and you know, people know what their job is and there's boundaries and all those kind of things. And that's definitely, I know it's not the big faith, you know, exploration, but it's important. I think it's also important to the work that we do in our world and in our communities. So, yeah.
It is, because, I mean, one of the things that I talk about a lot is, you know, we all have to do God's work where we're at, and we have all been given different gifts and abilities to do that work. And so together we form a collective that can do God's work in the world. And I think, you know, staff is kind of a microcosm of that. You want staff mm-hmm. that all have different abilities and different skill sets. And
mm-hmm.
and if you're all exactly the same, then it's not going to work as well. But then that leads
to... Oh, yeah. I am a raging extrovert, and I really work well with introverts. So I know that about myself. So I know the next place I go. I know. It is. Most of my friends are introverts.
Because you listen to me talk.
And we love it. Yes.
As much as I hate to interrupt this fabulous conversation because I'm having so much fun, we do need to take our first quick break of the podcast. So stay tuned. And when we come back, we'll have more with my interview with Vicar Katie Osweiler. Stay tuned.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are in the midst of my interview with Vicar Katie Osweiler as part of the new series Friends on Faith on Fridays. And we are speaking with Katie about her life and her faith and everything that is important to her in that life of faith. So let's get back to it.
So speaking of all of these things, talk a little bit about what you're doing now, because you have a fun title. Currently, you are a vicar, which means different things to different people.
Yes. So I don't know, it's not necessarily an East Coast thing, but in the Lutheran Church, we have the title of vicar a lot of times for intern pastors. So I am currently working on an internship. This is technically my last week of internship. And thank you. I made it. But this is what I call internship 2.0. So I went through the candidacy process about 10 years ago. And long story short, my husband's in the military, so we move all the time. So I haven't been able to finish the process. Now I'm doing it again. And luckily, I got assigned to an awesome church where I live in Washington, D.C. And it's been a really great experience, because I've been away from pastoral ministry for so long that I thought, you know, I'd really like to get back into the swing of things. You know, I feel like my faith hasn't, you know, waned or anything, but it's the rhythm of it all and getting back into the pulpit and into teaching and really being able to support other people's faith journey and helping them work through that. So I have been doing that for the last 9 months at a wonderful congregation that has been very supportive of me and helping me in my journey, as well as me walking along beside them in their journey. So it's been really great. And it's funny, my pastor that I work for, my supervisor, is also rather extroverted. So we recognized that right at the beginning that we're both extroverts, but we were okay with that. We got through what we needed to get through and tried to not have our meetings be more than 2 hours, you know, we can talk.
Yes.
But it's great. And it's fun because he is actually it's been about a year that he got approved to do a sabbatical. And even before I started the internship, I was attending this church. It just so happened I got assigned there, and he asked me to stay on during the summer to be the, what I'm being called, the pastoral associate. I'll still be called vicar, but my title will change technically, and I will be the pastor in charge of the congregation while he's gone for 3 months. And we've lined up all these great preachers and people to come in to preside over communion, since I'm not able to do that yet, since I'm not ordained. And we have a few pastors in our congregation that are retired, and they will also preside when I will be preaching. And it's going to be a really great summer. I mean, we'll miss him very much, but we really have a lot of good things lined up. And I'm kind of excited to be in this role, because when you are a student, you never really get to be by yourself. You know? And so this is the first time that I will be the pastor, and I'll be the person that people call, you know, first, and need help, they'll call me. So I think I'm ready for that. I know I'm ready for that, but obviously there will be things that you can never prepare for. You know, we actually just had a death in our congregation of a youngish mother. Her children are in junior high and high school, so I would not say she was old, but she was very sudden, and it was just a very sad thing. And you know, it's one of those things where our pastor's still around, and I'm kind of glad that he's there, not because I don't think I could handle it on my own, but because these people have just been such great longtime members, that it makes me happy that he's still around for that. And I just think, I really hope, you know, he can, you know, not miss some of these big things that happen in our church, not just deaths, right, but you know, because this is his congregation as well, and he does need a sabbatical, like, you know, that is a great thing, but, you know, there's those things to balance. It's a balance.
Yes. So you're in your last week of internship, which is awesome, but then you're moving into this new role, but same congregation. Can you choose just maybe one thing that you, I don't want to say favorite, but we'll go ahead and say favorite. What's your favorite thing about working at this congregation?
Well, it's kind of my favorite and the most draining. We are two blocks away from our nation's Capitol building, one block away from the Supreme Court, and we are in the middle of everything, which is really exciting, but it's also exhausting. Like, for example, when the election happened in November, my pastor and I, the next day, kind of came to work, and we looked at each other, and I said, this congregation has a history of opening its doors for Inauguration Day for people who need to use the restroom, and we provide coffee and all that stuff. And I looked at him and I said, we're still doing that, right? And he said, yes, we are still doing that, because we open our doors for everybody. And we did. We opened our doors, and it was great. It was fantastic. There were about 50 people that came in, and we live streamed the inauguration. I may or may not have watched the whole thing, but I was also running around providing coffee for people, and it was a great day of hospitality and joy for many people. And then we also decided to open our doors the next day for the Women's March, and we had quite a few thousand come in and use our facilities. Wow. And it was also amazing. There were so many people, they were so positive, and it was just this great feeling of camaraderie. And I mean, yeah, there were some people who had signs that were, you know, a little political and all that stuff, but overall, it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. And people would walk in and they'd say, thank you for opening your doors, because all the Port-a-Johns on the mall were closed. And so they came to us, and it was, you know, this look of desperation of thank you. And it was like, of course we're going to do this. You know, so we open our doors to so many different people. And I love that about us. I love that about that congregation. They just don't, you know, I mean, most of the people that come in, yes, they're fairly following the line of what the ELCA kind of social statements are. And if they're outside the social statements, then we might not allow them to use our building. But we've had everybody on the political spectrum come in. And it's been great. It's been great to be a congregation of hospitality. And our congregation is totally for it. Like, the people, they also like it. And we have quite a few people who don't necessarily think the same thing in our congregation. They're not, you know, we have Republicans and Democrats and all different types. So it's, you know, we all get along.
That's great. Well,
sometimes
I love
it makes me
story.
Laugh, but it's just.
I love that story because it shows that doing God's work doesn't have to be this huge, overwhelming thing. It can be, you know, doing God's work can mean providing places for people to go to the bathroom.
I know, yes.
And get something, yes. You know, get something warm to drink.
Yep.
You just have to start where you are with the opportunities that are around you.
Yeah.
So you mentioned camp. Which camp did you go to as a kid? Was it one or more?
It was more. It was in Ohio, we have like a camp system. There's quite a few different ones. I grew up going to two of them mainly. We had Camp Luther, which was on Lake Erie, and that was a family camp. So your whole family goes all week long. I still go to that camp. I'm going this summer. And then I went to Camp Moana, which was just for kids, which is also super fun to be away from your parents and you're with your cool counselors. And it was just that was definitely a joy. Like I still get, I am so excited to go to Camp Luther this summer. I can't wait. I still get tingles when I, you know, turn into the camp property and it's like, oh, we're almost there. I just adore it. I absolutely adore it. It's so fun. Oh goodness.
Were you ever a camp counselor?
I was. Oh my goodness. I had so much. I worked at Camp Luther two different summers. The first summer I worked in the kitchen, and then 7 years later, I was actually a camp counselor. I was in seminary when that happened. And I just wanted a job for the summer and worked at Camp Luther. It was fantastic. But, you know, I've also actually worked at other camps around the country, too. When I was in high school, I worked at a camp in New York called Koinonia, and that was really fun. That was the first time I'd been to a different camp outside of Ohio, and I had such a joyful time there, meeting new people, singing new songs. I went to another camp in Idaho for a summer. I worked out in Idaho, and that was in the middle of nowhere, which was super fun because it was small servant groups that came in. We were connected to a larger camp, but we were like a satellite camp. So there were only like four of us on staff in the middle of nowhere, and we just had a blast. So that was the first time I really spent time out west. I even learned how to fly fish. That was pretty awesome.
Nice.
And then I, you know, when I did my internship 1.0, I was in the Seattle area, so I got to visit, you know, Lutherwood up in Bellingham, and in seminary went down to Mount Cross down in Santa Cruz. So I love just kind of going to all these different places and seeing how everybody kind of lives out this outdoor ministry in different ways. And it's just such a joy to know that people, kids, adults can kind of go all over the country, anywhere, and you can be from any state and go to any camp. So it's really a lot of fun.
Oh, camp stories. Makes me think of my time as a counselor and as a camper. So we do have to take our second break of the podcast. I hate to keep interrupting, but just one more break. And then when we come back, we'll be concluding my interview with Vicar Katie Osweiler. So stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, I was talking with Vicar Katie Osweiler about her experiences as a camper and a camp counselor. And now in this last segment of the podcast, we turn to a bit more serious topics of where she has doubts in her faith, where she finds hope in her faith, those types of things. So let's get back to that interview.
So when you think about your relationship with God, with your faith life, where do you feel most connected to God?
I feel most connected to God when I am in kind of a service mode. I'm not good at silent contemplation or like a routine where I get up and pray every morning. I've tried so hard to do. I even got the like Lutheran small catechism app on my phone. I was like, I'm going to do this morning prayer and evening prayer every day. Like, I don't do that. I don't know why. I check my Facebook every day. Why don't I do that? I don't know. But I feel like the closest I am to God is when I'm serving other people. And that's really where I feel it the most, whether it's in the pastor sense or a camp counselor or just helping somebody random that I know. The other day, a few months ago, a friend of mine works at a place called Miriam's Kitchen in D.C., and she asked people to send out this post on Facebook that was, they were looking for barbers to cut people's hair at this drop-in shelter. Miriam's Kitchen is a drop-in homeless shelter. And I thought, well, I cut my husband's hair. He might not have a lot of it, but I've been using clippers for the last 10 years. So I, you know, let her, I said, well, do you need any help? And she said they did need someone on Friday. So I cut people's hair on Friday. I don't know what I'm doing. But it's like, it's just one of these things that nobody knows I'm religious. Nobody knows. I mean, sometimes the guys ask, like, oh, what do you do? Or where's your barber shop? And I was like, I'm not really a barber. But luckily, you know, I'm getting good. There are a few people who kind of help me out and tell me, oh, this is, you know, because a lot of the people that come in, you know, they don't bathe regularly. And so a lot of times I have to tell people, like, oh, you know, make sure that you shower every so often. And sometimes people will talk to me about different things that, you know, I just listen. I just listen to what they're saying and let them talk. And it's nice to know that there's something that we can do, anything, like something small like that. Like to me, it's, you know, it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours every Friday. And, but really a lot of those guys are like, this is so great. I'm so thankful. I had one lady come in and she's like, can you cut women's hair? I was like, I got a pair of scissors. So I cut her hair and she's like, nobody's touched me since 1974. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Okay. Well, it was just one of those things like, oh, all right, well, let's do this. So,
yeah.
But you know, those are ways that aren't—they're not in the church. They're not in a building. I think it's where a lot of my faith is developed is in those everyday moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where are the times that you feel, or when are the times that you feel doubt in your faith life?
I mean, the first thing that popped in my head is just like when crappy things happen. Like just, usually when it's world things, like when I look at things that are going on in Syria it doesn't even have to be Syria. It can be our own backyard. I mean, human trafficking is something that happens in the United States. Like, you know, children are abused in the United States. Like, it's not like this has to happen far away, but, you know, the grander scale things that happen, genocides and, you know, all these other kind of things, I just think, oh my goodness, like how does God even exist? Because seriously, like what is wrong with you? But you know, there's this lady that volunteers in our church office and she's rather old, but I love her to death. And I don't know how old she is, but that's not the point. The point is the other day she was telling me that her niece was having lots of doubts about God. And her niece was like, well, all these bad things happen, and I just don't believe that God exists because the bad things happen. And she said that she told her niece, well, of course bad things happen here on earth. If bad things didn't happen here on earth, then we would be in heaven. I thought about that, and I was like, huh, yeah, I guess if everything was fine, it would not be earth. Like we would be in heaven. So I kind of thought about that, and I thought, well, that's okay. I can get on board with that. But I just I don't know exactly if I believe everything in the sense of, like angels working in our lives, or is there really a devil that walks around and messes with us? And, mm-hmm. People talk about evil powers. And I mean, even Martin Luther talked about evil powers and all this other stuff. But like Martin Luther thought the earth was the center of the universe. Like, so, now I know the sun is at the center of our solar system. So it's like, we have intelligence. So I don't know if that helps me with my belief, or I feel like I'm just going to get all the answers at the end, and I don't need to worry about the details. There's very few things that really matter. And I think that things that really matter is basically, Jesus's command of, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. And in nowhere in there does it say, and angels exist and the devil exists. And so whether I believe those things exist or not, I just need to stick to those things of loving God, loving neighbor, and loving myself. And if I can do those things, then those other little parts, they're just,
they'll sort themselves out.
Just the fringes. Yeah.
So where do you find hope then?
So many places. Like I pause because it's just so many places. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many good things that happen in this world. And, even in war-torn countries and in sadness and in tragedy, there's so much hope for humanity and for, people to do the right thing. And that it's hard to not see that and have that bit of hope happen. Hope is kindness. Hope is people being kind. Hope is people reaching out and helping a neighbor that perhaps they used to think was lazy, and now they've come to get to know them, and they know that they're struggling with something that is very difficult to overcome. Hope is that change that we have from maybe looking inside ourselves and then finally going outward, looking outward to the other. I think that's where we can see hope is in change. And some people do that because they have a belief, they have a belief system that tells them to do that. And other people, may just find that they are tired of being selfish, and they, mm-hmm. they need to look outward. So mm-hmm. lots of people can do it.
Do you have a favorite Bible passage, Bible verse, anything that you go to?
I think Matthew 5:14 is one of my favorites, which is, you are the light of the world and a city on a hill cannot be hid. I think for a lot of reasons, because I think that a lot of times people don't feel as highly of themselves as they should. We're amazing creatures that can do amazing things. And God is telling us, like, you are awesome. You're fantastic. You are a city on a hill. You are the light of the world. You are a star in the night. You are all of these things because you are beautifully and wonderfully made, which is what Psalm 139, how I love that one too, how God knows us so intimately. And it also talks about God being a knitter. So that also is one of my favorites, God knitting us together in our mother's womb. And knowing that so personally that God then says, you are the light of the world. You're the one that's going to bring the message. You're the one that's going to bring the hope, and don't look down on yourself. You are important. You're special. Special. But I just think that there's so many people. And we talked about seminary earlier, and I think that sometimes people see pastors and religious leaders as these like gurus or these, these people that just know everything and, your faith must be so amazing. But, mm-hmm. My faith is no more amazing than anybody else's faith. I'm not any more special because you know, I preach a sermon or I read the Bible. You know, that's, and I think that was something that Martin Luther was, you know, trying to tell everybody is like, hey, you know, let's put our faith back into our hands and let's learn about all these things instead of having somebody tell us, you know, what to believe and how to believe it and what to do. And we still have a long way to go with that.
Well, I know that you have kiddos to pick up from school.
Oh, yeah,
so anything, no, that's true. Oh, right, kids at school. Anything you want to, you know, wrap things up with? Got any?
Like a camp song or no?
If you were a camp song, Katie, what would you be?
Oh, my gosh. That's a tough, that might be the toughest question, is if I were a camp song, what would I be? Wow. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that. That would be.
Well, it just popped into my head when you said it. So,
Dropkick Me Jesus. That's a good one. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one. Dropkick Me Jesus.
Oh, one of these days, Google Dropkick Me Jesus. You'll
okay.
See. Hilarious. but no, I think, you know, I mean, faith is a personal thing, but it's also something we share. And mm-hmm. I think that, we just did this big, we built this loom at our church and we put it outside and I cut up all these acolyte robes and had people, you know, write their prayers on these pieces of paper or pieces of cloth and wove them into this loom. And I didn't quite know what it was going to be when it started. And I loved it at the end. It became this tapestry of all these different people. We had it outside. So we have people, you know, we're right by the Capitol building, we're right in the middle of things. So people are walking by all the time. And then we had somebody weave their prayer in and then post it on Facebook, and they were maybe like one person removed from our head pastor. So that person tagged him in it, and she had written this thing. The lady that did the original post had written how she's not part of a religious community, but that somebody told her to be part of a religious community is a bold act of faith, and how this is a step for her into that boldness. And so she wove her prayer in, and then she said, I never knew Lutherans were this cool. I thought, well, yeah, of course we are. But I thought, you know, and then at the end, we had this huge, you know, tapestry of people's prayers woven together. And I just thought, you know, we can't do this by ourselves. You know, we mm-hmm. have to do this together. There's nowhere that God says you're on it by yourself. You have to go it alone. And I just, yeah. I loved that image of having everybody come together and we're all woven together in this beautiful tapestry.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing your faith stories, your faith life with us. I really appreciate it. And
you're
I know
welcome.
My listeners will appreciate it as well. Good luck with everything going forward. You've got a big summer ahead, so have fun with that.
Yay! Thanks!
And then... yeah, thank you for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You are a blessing to me, Sarah, so I will do anything for you.
Well, I'll think about that. I'll see what I can come up with. Well,
okay.
You are a blessing to me also, and enjoy the time you have with your family in Ohio, and then enjoy going back to the D.C. area and all the stuff that you have going forward.
Thanks.
I want to once again thank my guest, Vicar Katie Osweiler, for being my very first guest on this new segment, Friends on Faith on Friday, and I hope we'll have many more of those to come. I have several friends who are interested. We just have to figure out their crazy pastor schedules, and hopefully they will be on soon. And I hope you enjoyed it as well, because I had a lot of fun. I hope you'll join me again on Sunday when we go back to the lectionary texts. So we will be looking at the text for Acts for this week. And as always, you can find all of our Bible study podcasts and all of our podcasts for the GSMC Podcast Network at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download this podcast and any of our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any app that you have for your mobile devices. Also, as always, I would love to hear from you on social media. Tell me what you think of this new segment. Tell me what you think of, you know, just our, the episodes in general. Questions, comments, prayer concerns, anything you have, you can hit me up on social media. You can find me Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. GSMC Bible Study is where you can find us. So, as always, thank you for joining me. Thank you to Katie Osweiler for joining me. And I hope you'll join me again on Sunday. But in the meantime, please always remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.